Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
Would you stop yelling at her? If you keep yelling at her, you're going to be suspended as the observer. Greetings, my friends, and welcome. Rush Limbaugh, the Excellence in Broadcasting Network, the nation's leading and most influential, most eagerly desired, envied, copied, but never equaled broadcast presentation, coming to you today from high atop the EIB Southern Command bunker. Great to be with you. The telephone number is 800-282-2882, and the email address is Rush, let me turn my volume here, rush@eibnet.com. All right. The Foley story just keeps rolling on. A priest tells the Associated Press he had a relationship with former Congressman Mark Foley decades ago, but it was not sexual in nature. There might have been one time when the priest was drugged on tranquilizers, but he's not sure. And he says, come on, it's a long time ago. Can we let bygones be bygones? Now, why are we supposed to care about this? This is probably one time the drive-by media is going to be sympathetic to the priest. Priest may get a partial Pulitzer here. But let's see what this is. There's no sex with the priest. There's no sex with the pages. What is the scandal? I'm going to tell you what the scandal is. Not only we can't deny this, I think we have to underscore it. Brian Ross, ABC News, the Penis Patrol, perfectly timed this hit on Mark Foley. Ross and ABC sat on this for weeks. Left-wing groups have been circulating the Foley story for months. I think this is the equivalent of what the left tried with the Bush DUI on the last week of the 2000 presidential campaign in the National Guard in 2004. It's obvious to me, ladies and gentlemen, the elites, the drive-bys, the Democrats and leftists striking back with a vengeance now. I think they've had enough of the popular will. They know they can't win an honest election about ideas, can't win those debates. They're trying to influence the election with investigations, outings, smear tactics, whatever works. Everything's being thrown up against the wall. In fact, I did put it near the top of the stick. I was thinking in a more organized fashion today. Listen to this from ABC's The Note. ABC, that's Mark Halperin and the boys, who's got this book out with John Harris, The Washington Post. Listen to this. The old media, giddy with excitement over the prospect of the Bush-Cheney-Rove-Melman machine losing, filled with guilt over complicity in an Iraq war it once ended, flush with anticipation over 2 years of anti-Bush leaks from a gavel-wielding Henry Waxman, and substantially more interested in revelations about congressional pages than in trying to tell the voters the truth about whether or not the economy is strong and getting stronger. The old media can barely contain itself on the secret morning conference calls with Howard Dean and George Soros, during which it was agreed just this morning that, yes, we can keep the narrative, the Democrats are going to beat Bush and run Congress, going for another 19 days without interruption. Now, if I read this right, sounds to me like the old media has conference calls every day with Howard Dean and George Soros, where the strategery is discussed. Now, I have said in the past, long ago, in discussing media bias, that I don't think that the old media, the drive-bys, got together and had their conference calls in the morning to decide what news was going to be and how it was going to be reported, what wasn't going to be news and all that. And I said, because they don't have to. They basically think the same. They see things the same. And I say if they do get together, it's in the bar after work over adult beverages where such unified phrases as gravitas and other things happen to spread throughout the drive-by media. But now, having read this from ABC's The Note, I'm obviously wrong. These people are obviously having conference calls with Democrat fundraisers, policymakers, and the chairman of the Democrat National Committee to discuss the Democrat narrative and how the drive-by media can continue to carry it for 19 days uninterrupted. So I guess they are getting together, and that's what this implies. Maybe I should better say that's how I infer this. The old media, giddy with excitement over 2 years of anti-Bush leaks from a gavel-wielding Henry Waxman. I'm drawn back to the people The by the way, I've got a new name for you conservatives who aren't going to vote out there. Cut and run conservatives. The cut and run conservatives, one of their central themes is, it's not going to be so bad if Democrats win. The world's not going to come to an end. Look at 2 years of leaks from Henry Waxman wielding his gavel at a House committee that would obviously be looking into various crimes and excesses of the Bush administration. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, the latest Zogby polls numbers are out with the Wall Street Journal, and there's some surprising stuff here. In Missouri, Zogby Wall Street Journal, talent up by 3 over Claire McCaskill. In Tennessee, Corker up by 7 over Harold Ford. Who, by the way, did you see what Ford did the other day? Ford came out and endorsed Lieberman. There's also a funny story in one of my stacks here about Chris Shays. Let me see if I can find this real quick, since we're talking about Connecticut. Because it's just hilarious. And I know I didn't put this one too near the front, but let me find it. Okay, just bear with me here, folks. It's worth waiting for. Blah, 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 blah. Media character. Oh, Walmart's expanding. Well, now, what did I do with it? Oh, here it is. Anti-war mood could unseat GOP stalwart. Connecticut's Representative Shays tries to shift his stance. Chris Shays is a moderate. This is a story in the San Francisco Chronicle. He's a moderate, now getting heat for shifting his views. What are moderates for anyway, if not for shifting their views? The fact is, you can't nail moderates down on anything. Moderates go with the flow. They seek consensus and go there. Or they find the majority and go there. But Shays has been taking heat recently for his shifting views in the war. He's long opposed setting a timetable for getting out. The trouble for Shays is that his latest statements in Iraq looked opportunistic. Oh, see how, you know, people think they're buying all kinds of insurance against criticism when they become moderates. If you, as a moderate, happen to shift off the liberal line or plantation, you are going to get heat. And Chris Shays is getting it in the San Francisco Chronicle. And this is not an AP story. This is a San Francisco Chronicle story talking about a Republican representative in one district in Connecticut, a whole continent away. Anyway, more of these Zogby polls. In Ohio, Sherrod Brown, 49, Mike DeWine, 45. That's much closer than it has been portrayed. In Pennsylvania, Bob Casey at 52, Santorum at 44. That's about where those polls have been. In New Jersey, Thomas Kane Jr. up over Menendez by 2, 47 to 45. And in Maryland, Michael Steele up over Ben Cardin by 1. That's 46. I'm sorry, tied. 46-46. That's not a Zogby poll. It's Survey USA. There's another poll that's got Steele up by 1. And, of course, the polls are all over the place. There's the other Ohio poll that showed Brown way ahead by, what was it, 8 or 9 points, even more. The sample of under 500 people, margin of error, plus or minus 5 points. And you wonder about the weighting and how many more Democrats than actually exist in Ohio on a percentage basis were part of the sample. But these Zogby numbers tallied up over 3, and there are other polls that have McCaskill up by 9 in Missouri. I know it's, you don't think it's possible. Corker up 2 over Harold Ford. At any rate, the president's going into Pennsylvania to try to help out Rick Santorum. In the meantime, in the Washington Times today, conservative voters likely to stay home. I mean, now it's even in the Washington Times that conservatives, have you noticed the conventional wisdom has spread, and now it's become commonplace, and everybody's thinking. It is so pervasive a theme. Republicans staying home. Conservatives fed up, not going to the polls because of Foley and whatever else. I'm beginning to doubt it. It's just, I think there's, when you put all this together, the coordinated attacks between the Democrats and the media, planning their strategy, the smears, the refusal to discuss issues, just go out and say conservatives aren't going to vote. You can go find any two or three people say they're not going to vote for whatever reason. Most, there are a lot of people that don't vote in this country. Not hard to find a few. And then all you have to do is say, these people, have they voted strong conservative, straight ticket Republican for the last 3 years, but they're fed up. And then you get three or four people saying, with no front teeth, never again. And the media goes, see, real Americans are having trouble. And they create this notion, this mindset that then settles in as a reality, then everybody else bounces off of it. I'm a little long in the break. A quick timeout. There's a lot of good ink in this Washington Times story for the dissatisfied to make a name for themselves, and that's, I think, another thing here. I think a lot of people want to matter. They want to have power. They feel powerless, and if they think they can screw it up for somebody else by getting noticed and doing that, then they feel like they've got some power. So there could be all kinds of things at play here. But we can't ignore this. Drive-by media, now even the Washington Times, not part of the drive-by media, is suggesting there's a sizable number of cut-and-run conservatives out there. We'll be back and continue here on the EIB Network right after this. All right, for our website subscribers and audio listeners, we just filled the break there with some funny stuff, including the John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Saddle Sore Canyon bit, which reminded me, we got a couple of audio sound bites here from Senator McCain. He was on Hardball last night, some college tour. Where was Matthews last night? Anybody know? Some university. Doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Anyway, Matthews says, should gay marriage be allowed?
I think that gay marriage should be allowed if there's a ceremony kind of thing, if you want to call it that. I don't have any problem with that. But I do believe in preserving the sanctity of a union between man and woman.
All right. Then they went to a commercial break. And something happened in the commercial break, because when they came back, McCain later had to add this.
Could I just mention one other thing on the issue of the gay marriage? I believe if people want to have private ceremonies, it's fine. I do not believe that gay marriages should be legal.
Yes, a little confusion. The audience loved him in the first bite, but somebody, I don't know if he's got a listening device in his ear and his version of Karl Rove is backstage, giving him guidance, or whether or not somebody actually came out on stage during a commercial break and said, hey, do you realize what you just said? So we had to go correct the record. I want to share with you some of the details here in this Washington Times story. Cut-and-run conservatives likely to stay home. The message hasn't gotten across because a lot of people are sick and tired of thinking the only reason for going to the polls is to vote for the Republicans because they are lesser of two evils, said Tom McCluskey, vice president of government affairs at the Family Research Council. Conservatives aren't motivated to come out. That's what I'm finding, said conservative campaign consultant Rick Shafton, who is based in Sparta, New Jersey. They see no reason to reelect the people who are in office. Top Republicans, including the president, Karl Rove, Vice President Cheney, Ken Melman, been meeting with conservative activists, so forth, emphasizing the importance of the midterm election. The message has rippled out, but it's not overwhelming anybody. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins sent an email this week asking supporters to sign a values voter pledge. Email warned that too many elective office holders are content to downplay social issues. And then there's Republican media consultant Craig Shirley said the party's national leadership appears to be trying to scare disaffected voters to the polls by arguing that Republicans aren't as bad as the Democrats. It'd be nice if the national party started talking about what we are for instead of simply trashing the left. Shirley's a nice enough guy, but I'm not sure I understand this. I thought everybody was talking about what we're for in the context of explaining how it'll all go down the drain and be lost if the cut-and-run conservatives stay home and give the election to the Democrats. In the meantime, drive-by media is obsessed with the notion that Bush and Rove are optimistic about this. On the Hotline blog, there's a little piece, why the White House has to be optimistic. If you've ever read a profile of Ken Mellman, you know that he's obsessed with metrics. For him, one of the most important sources of data is a weekly email his political team prepares called the Weekly Grassroots Report. It meticulously records the work of tens of thousands of volunteers in targeted states, counties, and congressional districts across the country. The data summary allows the RNC to determine which states are meeting goals and which states are falling behind. Now, the RNC declined to share the most recent report with the hotline. It was issued Monday of this week. But two independent sources who saw it, or actually saw last week's report, professed to be surprised. Not only was there no drop-off last week, 12 states broke new voter contact records. So the primary emphasis that Mellman and Rove place on midterm elections or elections period, getting out the vote, the Republicans are working harder than ever, and they are making new or breaking records in terms of the numbers of voters that are personally being contacted in important districts, precincts, around the country. In a month, the party completed more than 1 million phone calls and door contacts combined. Bigger states are putting up big numbers. Even Ohio, which lagged behind its targets all summer, has caught up. The RNC particularly pleased with their progress in New Jersey, where they've rapidly set up a more aggressive version of their 72-hour program in light of the state's more competitive Senate race. These are the numbers that motivate Karl Rove's optimism. The spreadsheets show that Republican volunteers are working hard. There are plenty of volunteers. They seem plenty willing to knock on doors and make telephone calls. That's why it makes sense for Rove, the White House, Sarah Taylor, and for Mellman to exude uncanny optimism even while their brains pore over pessimistic polls. Right now, a strong volunteer corps on Election Day working to turn out voters is the only hope they've got. If no, everything's hopeless. I can't help but compare the two nights ago, after the St. Louis Cardinals beat the New York Mets, I woke up and I read the New York tabloids, and it was over. It was over for the Mets last night. They didn't have a prayer because they were going with some pitcher that has got a lot of potential, hadn't met that potential, and they're going against a Cardinals ace. The Cardinals ace has more rest, and the Cardinals have a momentum of 3-2. Every game the Mets have lost this year in this postseason playoff with the Cardinals, the New York tabloids have buried them. It's over. They've lost the momentum. They don't have the pitching. They don't have what it takes. And here the Mets are. Thank goodness they don't read the papers. Because the Mets won last night, and so there's a big Game 7 tonight at Shea Stadium. And I read the New York tabloids today. Now they're full of vim and vigor. Game 7, there's nothing like it. It's what every kid dreams of growing up. This can happen. It's going to be great. The Mets can move on to the World Series and so forth. And then they say, but they've got the unpredictable and the unreliable Oliver Perez pitching for them tonight. So they're starting to chew their fingernails over that. It's just this constant obsession with negativity everywhere. In the greatest country on earth, it just continues to amaze me. It really does. And now a strong volunteer corps on Election Day working to turn out voters is the only hope the Republicans have? Come on! That is sheer idiocy. The only hope Republicans... For crying out loud, there are 2.5 weeks left. The Republicans basically just started spending their money in certain states and districts around the country. I personally don't relate to it, folks, which is why I spend so much time dwelling on it here with you, trying to understand it, because I just don't. Back in just a second. All right, production staff working diligently here, ladies and gentlemen, at my direction, to come up with a public service announcement on cut-and-run conservatives, and I want to hear it. I'm told they just completed it. You got it ready there for me to listen to and preview. We're going to let the audience hear it at the same time. Normally, this is a great risk. This thing could be bad. It could be horrible. It could be the farthest thing from broadcast excellence ever. And the fact that Snurdly tells me it's good is not necessarily comforting. So is it ready to go? Well, let's hear it.
Feeling let down by Republicans this year? Then join the millions of true conservatives who have become cut-and-run conservatives and sit this one out. If you're unhappy with anything the President, House, or Senate has done in the last 2, 4, or 12 years, then show your patriotism by teaching them all a lesson they won't forget. So take a stand, conservative America. Become a cut-and-run conservative and sit this one out. And wait until you like everything Republicans do before you ever vote again.
Paid for by George Soros. If I had known this would work, I wouldn't have wasted my money on Sheehan.
Wow, he paid for the thing himself, not even with friends of Nancy Pelosi and people who eat lobster with Oprah Winfrey. Fight the power. Cut and run. Stay home until things are perfect. A position endorsed by this program and the EIB network. All right. I want to take you back to something that I did September the 13th. Maybe it was September 20th. It was in September that I posited a theory, ladies and gentlemen. I asked you a question. Who is the most important undecided group in this year's election? Can you guess? They could control the outcome of the election. They could create a landslide for the left or the right. Who are they? Who is this group? What's this group? The most important undecided group in this year's election. It's too important an answer to leave it up to you just to guess. I will tell you, because that is my job, it's my duty, it's my sacred trust. The most important and undecided voting block in this year's election is... Actually, I wonder if I should ask you to guess. Maybe I should. No, the most important and undecided voting block in this year's election is... I wonder how many of you people know the answer to this already. You don't have it in there, do you? You're sitting there. I can see your brain working trying to figure it out. The key voters... Enough teasing here, folks. The key voters in this year's election are... The terrorists, the Islamofascists, the jihadists. What will Al-Qaeda do to influence the election? What will Iran's leader Ahmadinejad do? By the way, he just said yesterday, maybe it was early today, on state television in Iran, that Israel is illegitimate and doesn't deserve to exist. Let's keep negotiating, shall we? Like we're negotiating with everybody else. Come on, folks, I'm not making this up and I'm not exaggerating. Al-Qaeda, the Islamofascists, the jihadists, they have an interest in the outcome, a life or death interest, or death or death interest, however you want to characterize it. Who do you suppose they're rooting for? Who do you think bin Laden and Ahmadinejad and, well, let's even throw in Hugo Chavez. Who do you think they're rooting for? Well, remember, they're not undecided. This group is not undecided, ladies and gentlemen. They have their minds firmly made. What could be the best outcome for them? Cut and run, right? Whose strategy, whose policy amounts to cut and run? Democrats? Well, maybe because they don't approve of war. They're anxious to redeploy. They're easily duped into negotiating. They prefer to talk rather than act. Maybe, though, let's consider the possibility terrorists vote Republicans. After all, the liberal argument is that Republicans are creating a whole new generation of terrorists. Liberal politicians all over Arab TV, all over American TV, saying America can't win the war. If that's the case, the terrorists should want Republicans to hold the House and the Senate so that we can keep losing the war and keep creating a whole new generation of terrorists. You see, this could go either way. How are the terrorists going to decide what to do? It's not so easy. It looks at first like they would automatically support the Democrats, because the Democrats get out of the world and basically turn over the rest of the world to the terrorists. But The liberals tell us that it is Bush that's creating all these terrorists. If you're a terrorist, wouldn't you like a bigger and bigger and bigger family of thugs and murderers willing to die for your cause? So it's a tough thing. The undecided, which way will they go? Which way will the terrorists vote? More attacks or a timeout? More threats or fake peace overtures? So we have two questions. Who are they rooting for, and what will they do about it? Sadly, I haven't seen the latest Zoghbi poll that has polled the terrorists or the jihadists or al-Qaeda on their preference. There is no Ali Abdullah Morris, there is no Yasser Pugh, and there is no Ali Zoghbi or Hakeem Rasmussen that I have seen. We won't know until they vote. But ladies and gentlemen, a reason I repeat this for you from September is because of this soundbite. I've put together a montage of NBC's Richard Engel and CNN's Barbara Starr reporting on the Iraqi insurgents and the November elections.
The insurgents are looking at the midterm elections here in the United States as a target of opportunity, trying to raise the level of violence in order to affect those midterm elections.
They believe insurgents are intensifying attacks against American soldiers now in an attempt to influence November's midterm elections.
Question answered, ladies and gentlemen. It's no more a question of will the terrorists decide to vote Republican or Democrat in this election. And here are our sources from the horses' mouths. Barbara Starr and Richard Engel, NBC and CNN. The insurgents have made up their minds and they are voting. They are trying to create as much havoc as possible, raise the level of violence in order to affect the midterm elections. Sounds to me like they're voting Democrat. Sounds like the terrorists around the world, and particularly those in Iraq, are voting Democrat today because they think an increased level of violence and death will cause you, I'm not talking about you cut and run conservatives because you're not voting, but those of you who are going to vote, you're going to vote against the Republicans because you're going to blame the Republicans for the increased insurgency and death and destruction in Iraq. So it's obvious now what they want, and we don't longer have to guess. Drive-by media has told us terrorists have voted Democrat. The early voting has begun. They're voting Democrat, plain as day. Connecticut and Grant, you're first on the EIB network today. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Rush. Mega dittos from Connecticut.
Thank you, sir.
I was watching the debate with Lieberman, Lamont, and Schlesinger the other night. And Lamont, of course, is a total deer in headlights when you look at him. And I'm not going to let the media suck me into their idea that the Republicans are going to sit home. I'm voting for Schlesinger. I see it as an opportunity to finally let your vote count in this state. To me, this is an important election, and even though Lieberman is pro-war, he's still liberal, and I'm not going to buy into it. I think that the Republicans finally have a chance to possibly, I may be over-optimistic on this, actually make a difference in this state.
What's Schlesinger currently polling? The last I saw was 5%.
Yeah. It's pretty low.
Been looking pretty desperate, yeah.
It is, but, you know, all these Republicans that were voting in this state, and their votes rarely count because it's so liberal. I still see John Kerry bumper stickers every day.
Yeah.
I believe that election is over.
Yeah. I'm not one to tell you what to do. Let me just put it this way. I'm glad you're not part of cut and run crowd. And I'm proud of you for that. I'm proud you're going to go vote. I'm proud you're going to exercise the franchise. I'm proud that you're going to go out there and make a difference. And you should be proud too.
Well, I am. And everybody just like a lot of people were nervous. Oh, well, I just don't want Lamont. And I'm at a point now
it's lament.
Yeah, of course.
Lament, not Lamont. Lament.
But I can't do it, Rush.
I totally understand. It's a strange election. A lot of people having trouble doing the. The thing about Lieberman winning, if I may just say so, Lieberman is going to have payback on the mind. Lieberman's going to go in there as an independent. He may not be seated as a Democrat. I don't. Who knows? He may. He may. We don't know. This is going to be so fascinating to watch. But Lieberman is getting a lot of support from Republicans. Believe me, he's not. I don't think he's showing this much, if at all, in public. He's seething inside over what's been done to him by his own party. There might be an opportunity for some payback of some kind. That's something you don't know. But like I said yesterday, the interesting stuff to me here is if we end up a lot of close races, all the and by the way, see the New York Times today? New York Times prepping for it. Big story. Going to be more voter problems because of more voter machines, electronic voting in more states than ever before. It's going to be a mess. It could make Florida 2000 look like romper room. They're setting up all of these possibilities, all these excuses for if they lose. Republicans are going to cheat again. Republicans are going to do something here to skew up these polls, screw up these polls, and take away what is already a well-earned victory in the Democrats, by the Democrats, in the polls. I'll have the details of that story as the program unfolds. Meantime, quick timeout. We'll be back and continue in just a second. How about that stingray attack? I'm sure most of you have heard about this. Down in Florida, this guy's out fishing and a stingray jumps in a boat. Or what is a stingray jump? Or flies out of water into the boat. And then stabs the guy with the barb. Now, the barb has a whole bunch of serrated edges. It's like a bunch of fish hooks going in you. And they can't get all of the barb out of this poor guy's heart. And with every contraction of the heart muscle, that barb is sucked in there further in the heart or drawn in further. It's in critical condition. So now, people go out on these boats down here all the time to feed the animals. We're creating a whole welfare state of these things down here. Been doing it for a long time. And every time they go out on these boats and they say, oh, feed the stingrays. They are the most docile creatures out there. They won't do diddlies. Now they're jumping into boats after us. Now, there has to be a reason for this, folks, above and beyond the predictable, usual, and probably accurate global warming excuse. Now, remember when the stingray killed Steve Irwin, the croc hunter? Well, you know, a bunch of angry Australians took to the sea and started mass murdering a bunch of stingrays. You don't think those things can't talk. I mean, we think dolphins are smart, and if we only smart enough, we could understand what they're saying. Can stingrays communicate, send vibes all over the world? I know it's an antenna. That's exactly right. The barb is a dual-use weapon. It is an antenna. You know, I've seen these things up close. They're over at Atlantis, the resort, Paradise Island in Nassau. They've got, you been over there, Brian? How about that aquarium they've got that you can walk through there? It's amazing what they've got. And they've got a bunch of huge stingrays in there. And, of course, they keep these animals fed beyond bloated so they don't eat each other. The only animal they tried to put in there they had to take out was a shark. The shark would eat anything in there. It didn't matter, no matter how much it was fed. No, if they gorged the shark, and it still didn't matter. Sharks were attacking, so they had to remove the sharks, certain kinds of sharks. I think they've got some hammerheads and some docile ones in there. I don't think you can talk to a shark. You can talk to North Koreans. You can talk to Ahmadinejad. You cannot talk to a shark. You can't overfeed a shark. I mean, you can't train these things. The stingrays, I mean, now they're flying out of the water into boats to kill people. There are things going on out there far beyond our ability to comprehend, ladies and gentlemen. Far beyond. Carol in Creve Coeur, Missouri, near St. Louis. Welcome to the EIB Network. Hi.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for letting me talk.
You bet.
I wanted to say that in response to what you said before about you thought that the GOP was communicating the main issues to the American people, that I don't think they are. I live in Missouri, as you just said, and Claire McCaskill is trying to unseat Jim Talent. And believe me, the only ads I see on TV about these people are Claire McCaskill coming on and saying some vicious lie about Jim Talent, and then Jim Talent is required to then come back on and refute it. And that is the majority of what the GOP in Missouri is doing with their money.
Okay, let me ask you, do you independently know what talent stands for on issues that matter to you?
Yes.
Do you know what McCaskill stands for on issues that matter to you?
Not really.
No, so you're just having to assume because she's a Democrat, but you don't really know. You do know what talent stands for. There has to be a reason for that. I understand there's a lot of negative ads. There always are. You know, the sad reality about this, Carol, is they work.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. I don't think that – I think that the Republicans can win, but they can only win if they beat the Democrats at their own game. And they are very smart. They are reaching average people with lies and negative ads and all these – things like, you know, Bush has screwed up the war.
Right, I know. But this is the thing. This has been the riff for 4 or 5 years. I don't understand why it doesn't anger people, regardless what the Republicans do. I'm talking about decent, average Americans. Why they're not outraged by this, beyond me. Hey, folks, how about Karl Rove's threat to blow up those 7 NFL stadiums this weekend? Is that not cool?